This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Halak to center. On to the right wing for Dougie Hamilton. Back to Halak. Going to the goal. To the forehand stop by Sheetloff. But did it roll in? There's no whistle. Canucks are going to continue to play. Devils were celebrating like that was a goal.
At 5:56 on the clock, New Jersey scored a goal.
Their fourth goal. Rat now at the left corner. To Nason. Side of the net. Pass into the crease. Jack Hughes scores. Devils get a power play goal to extend their lead. It's number 86, scoring his fourth of the season.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Bastion left corner. Carries up the wall, centering pass to the back door. Thomas Tatar scores. Tucked it past Archer Shelov's, past the left pad, with Eric Brandstrom sprawling to try and break it up, and it's 6-0 New Jersey.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks lose big, get absolutely spanked by New Jersey Devils 6-0 a night before Halloween. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar, and we are going to bring in Brett Festerling into the conversation, calling the game tonight alongside Brendan Batchelor. An ugly one at Rogers Arena, easily the worst game the Canucks have played so far this season. And, I mean, we might be hard-pressed to find a worse performance even going back to last year's regular season. I'm sure maybe we can find one, but not a good showing at all by the Canucks tonight at Rogers Arena. And, as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And at the end of the game against the Carolina Hurricanes, the head coach, he mentioned that if they play this way and don't clean things up, they can go on a 4 or 5-game losing streak. And that's the type of hockey that puts you in a losing streak the way they played tonight. You can call it foreshadowing from the head coach, perhaps. And I know people also want the head coach to do better. Hey, everybody can bear responsibility for a bad loss. But it's almost like he saw this coming based on how they've been trending with their game at times.
Yeah, when that usually happens, we talked about it a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Just there's things behind the scenes in terms of practices and just quality of passes and efforts and crispness as a whole. And that's usually when you start hearing alarm bells from the coaches a bit to try to, because I think they feel like the players necessarily aren't listening, or maybe what the warnings they're trying to give the players hasn't sunk in, so they go around to that media side. But this definitely wasn't good enough. That was a horror show for Halloween tonight.
It really was. I mean, that's a good way of putting it, a real horror show, because I can't think of a single redeeming thing the Canucks did tonight, right? Like, I can't think of at least this part of their game was good, at least this player had a great game. I don't think a single Canuck had a good game. It was more about who inflicted the least amount of damage on their own team. And I hate saying that about a performance, but I don't know how else to describe what we saw here tonight.
There's been a bad game, not like this, but throughout the course of the season here. But we would say, hey, you know, the PK did a nice thing. Yeah. Well, they got scored on the PK as well tonight. Again,
power play,
there really wasn't a redeeming element of the performance tonight. And if we're going to mention someone as a quote-unquote positive, it's really just an absence of mistake than something proactive that they did throughout the course of this game. Like, we're going to sit here and discuss this till midnight. You can text in 650-650. But we're talking about a game where they got 20 shots on goal. So it wasn't even as, hey, let's give it the old college try. The other team's sitting back in the third period, and we could put up some fake stats. They got outshot in the third.
Yeah.
So there was really nothing redeeming about this throughout the course of the game.
Well, and they didn't even go out with a bang, you know. And again, like, I hate that we're sitting here.
They
like
gave up two goals in the third.
Right. And it's like, yeah, at least go out.
In the crease on the
line. Yeah. Backdoor tap-ins.
And, I mean, hey, maybe this is a game where the head coach doesn't go off, but, like, I'm curious to hear what the head coach has to say. And you know what? I threw it out on social media too on Twitter that, hey, the head coach, you know, foreshadowed this the other night. And we talked about it yesterday on the show too, Brett, when you joined us on Canucks Central. But a lot of people are also pointing at the coach and saying, well, if you saw this coming, why did you not get ahead of it? And hey, that's easy to say, but at the same time, when the entire team underperforms this way, it's not just pointing at the player. It's like, what else can you do? What buttons can you push? How do you get them back on track here?
Yeah, that's the coach's job, is to find creative ways. And I get the, well, you know, it's coming, why don't you just step in and correct it?
It's not that
simple,
is it?
It's more of like an ebb and flow. It's like such a feel with players, and there's just times where things are more in sync and things are connecting, and you feel like everybody's on top of their game and pulling their weight.
Especially when you pick up points in 5 straight games. Like, oh, okay, whatever, coach, man. Well, we're fine. We're going to pick up points. We just did it in the last game, even though we weren't good.
But that's what that's
yeah.
That's why when that always happens is when you get points in games that maybe you're not your best and you know you have more to do. But that's usually when those bad habits just stack up. And the NHL now today is game every second day. It's just really hard to get that practice time to really grind out those details. You saw actually Batch was talking about them doing wall work and how to take on pressure and get pucks to the middle in their pregame skate. You know, that kind of stuff. That's when you don't usually see that in pregame skate. Pregame skate is usually 10, 15 minutes to just feel good, snap it around, throw some sauce pass, get a couple shots, and get off.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're working on that stuff, they definitely want to work on some stuff and probably haven't had the right amount of practice that they normally would if they get a couple games off here.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, I mean, I'm blaming the 7:30 start. Hey, 7:30 for the Canucks. That was like 10:30 for the Devils, right? I mean, they're from the East, and if anything, it's a late game for them. And the Devils, I thought, were pretty relentless for the most part, and they played a clean game.
Well, it's easy to be relentless when there's free ice everywhere. Well,
yeah, for sure. But at the same
time, just out for a regular skate.
You know, somebody was texting in here. I'm not sure the Canucks had a quality chance. I'm sure if we go through, we probably find one or two chances. There were a couple of opportunities, but not enough, right? No. I can't really think of any rush chances the Canucks had. Was the best rush chance the Pedersen shot from the pass was Sprong, and he shot it from a kind of a far angle. It wasn't a dangerous shot by any means. I can't think of any other opportunities off the rush tonight, whereas for the Devils, every single goal was a breakdown,
a
or half of them were rush opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Sprong had a great Sprong was actually a positive for me in terms of his effort and some of the things, but if you look at actual chances, it was like Sprong and Petey, and then a couple Quinn Hughes where he'd put the whole team on his back and went around twice and then into the slot and somehow got a shot off and he missed the net.
Yeah, he missed the net or a shot got blocked. There was the one pass that they made to Hronek and he came downhill and he missed it. It was a Pedersen chance in the power play at the end of the first period where the seas parted and he was like frozen.
Was
he wasn't sure what to do and just kind of threw – I think he was trying to go like seven hole under the arm almost and ends up hitting him kind of in the crest.
I don't think he expected to have that much time off that draw. Literally the seas
but it's almost,
parted and you're like,
but,
what?
But also shows you kind of the lack of focus almost where it's like, there's a chance there where, like, why do you hesitate? And maybe that goes to the lack of confidence, in the moment. But, you a player with confidence, you see the seas part. I mean, you just go downhill, don't you?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm not – in terms of confidence in the slot to take a shot on the power play, I'm not the guy to ask. So I would probably fire that thing as soon as possible right into the gut.
Sorry, which player were we talking about? Shorty came in here to say something to me.
No, it was we talked about the Canucks didn't have a ton of chances tonight, right? And maybe one of the better ones they had on the power play was that Pedersen chance where the seas parted at the end of the first period off the faceoff, 4 seconds, and he kind of froze. He didn't know what to do and kind of threw a not-so-dangerous shot.
He's kind of repositioning his body, not that I'm trying to make him an excuse, but he's twisting and – yeah, it just ends up right in the crest. I guess the other threatening one was right before the first goal. Besser gets a kind of a half chance in the slot when they do the down low play.
Yeah.
But they have 4 minutes, and we're talking about Pedersen weak backhander from the goal line that kind of feathered to the far post. Garland had an interesting zone entry where the puck ends up back to him, and he's like, I get it back, on a power play with Quinn Hughes, who can potentially put up 20, JT Miller, Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson.
He looks surprised, right?
Your trigger guy is like, oh, okay, and Markstrom's already sized up. It's like, I guess I'll take this shot, and it comes right into the chest, and that was it.
Yeah, but it just, it showed maybe a lack of confidence, but it was a strange game, and I see a lot of people are frustrated, of course. Like Tone Capone says, I know teams have bad games, but losing 6-0 at home, I'm sorry, but this is unacceptable to me as a lifelong Canucks fan. Talker needs to make some changes. And he mentioned that he was going to make changes on the power play, and then he didn't make changes on the power play. But then he made a change later in the game. To start the game, he had the same 5-man unit out. But then we saw in the third period, he took Garland and Miller off the first unit power play, and we saw Sprong get on and Jake DeBrusque. Was that a message-sending moment? Was it just trying something different? I would imagine, based on how bad this performance was, not only do we see some changes in the top six, but I would imagine the 5-man unit for the man advantage is not going to be the same one that started this game.
Yeah, it's turning into one of those, how many times can you do the same thing and it not work a bit? I want to see some movement. I feel like watching New Jersey, and again, this goes to they're of course they're going to look good with how Canucks played some of the game, but just the movement in and out. Like, even the last goal by Jack Hughes, he's out by the blue line, and then he's alternating or switching with a D-man, and then, you know, that's confusing. And there, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of confusion happening for the Killing team against the Canucks. There's too much stagnant kind of passing around, and it's easy. As a killer, when you set up that box or that diamond and your only movement has to be back to your post and back out to that, you know, face-off dot, it just simplifies things too much.
Yeah, honestly, we can sit here and think of, like, oh, this idea and this idea. None of it matters if you don't do simple stuff like skate, chip bodies, like the Palat goal.
Yeah.
Branstrom's too wide. Heinen's not skating. The Mercer goal. Hughes has a chance to get back into that play. Doesn't do it, and rebound comes right to Mercer, and it's, you know, centimeters away. You've got to go back for the opportunity of maybe there's a rebound and I can close down Mercer and stop the pad pass. And throughout the course of the night, it was just easy access. Like, we were talking about tap-in goals in the third period, rebound goals. It's all obviously there's turnovers, but a lot of it comes down to effort-based. And if you're texting in, it's like, oh, they didn't work hard tonight. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
And strategic differences aren't going to matter if guys aren't going to execute. Yeah. And they were dreadful in execution today. The first three goals, drop pass, drop pass, drop pass, rush, 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 goal, goal, goal. That's it. We can talk about three different guys who each did a drop pass to either put someone in a bad spot in a shot block or just gets picked off or just drop past it to nobody. I made the joke in the second intermission. They were seeing ghosts out there. It is Halloween. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a guy back there. No, there's nobody there. And it just leading to two-on-ones the other way.
Maybe it was the Halloween party last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we should have saved the party for tomorrow night. I mean, listen, I'm not saying anybody had a party last night. We're joking about it. You know, none of us, we're just joking. Nobody knows. I don't think there was a party. Just for like, hold on, the guys had a party last night? Like, we're just kidding.
But let me log into my burner Twitter account.
Brett Fressling said. Getting radioed. But Brett, before we let you go here, as far as how you move off of this, the coach was clearly trying to send messages, and they picked up, you know, points in the first two games they lost. They lost the third one, but played fairly well against Tampa. And it wasn't like no panic. They turned things around. They won four in a row, and then the last game they lost. And the coach was trying to send the message of, hey, you guys have to wake up. Is this a sobering enough loss that it gets you back into focus here, or could it be a sign of there's a longer way to go here for these guys to find themselves?
No, I think it can be sobering enough between kind of being – they haven't got shut out this bad since 2006, Joey just texted me.
I had it here. I tweeted it out. Last time they lost by six at home ice, December 13th, 2017, in a 7-1 game versus Nashville. Alex Burmistrov, the lone goal scorer there. The last shutout was November 9th, 2006 versus Anaheim.
Yeah, so I mean
– Hey, were you on that game?
No, that was that was before me.
But, yeah, that's
– I was on the way up. I was on the way down.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, again, it's like anecdotally, I felt like this is the worst game under this coaching staff and this team that we saw, like, over the past year and a bit. Like, I can't think of
– That feels a safe bet.
Like, if there was that game in Seattle when Tocchet initially took over and it was a really bad game, and he kind of called him soft afterwards early on. But that was early, right? He had just came in, hadn't really imparted all his knowledge and the identity to the team. But that's the one I can think of off the top of my head that was like this
bad. He said it like it's the Matrix. He hadn't imparted all the knowledge. They sat in the chair and just like, oh, structure.
Structure.
Right.
Well, hey, maybe the update's not working, whatever it is.
Miller and Hughes get out of the chair. They're like, I know Kung Fu.
You know what? There's so many jokes there, but I'm not going to go down that road. I'm sure people will, though, on the text inbox. But, yeah, outside of that, too, and final thing on the back end tonight, like I know it was a bit of a struggle there for Susie and Myers as well. There was the first goal that happens. Myers kind of bites in. And it's exactly what the coach talked about before the game, said, you know, we can't have guys diving in. And literally, the first chance they get, it's a guy diving in and a two-on-one going the other way. And it's stuff like that can't happen.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, I've been in that spot. The Myers, you get the game and you want to be on your toes and you want to be – you no hesitation in your game, and then the first play you do is you just don't do it. And then he turns the wrong way so he doesn't have puck or man.
Yeah.
And it was just set the tone for the entire game.
Jamie and I were chatting about this in the first intermission. Again, I'm not defending the dive, right, or the dive in. It's just it, – to me, it's the decision on the indecision.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a bad decision to dive in, but then commit to it.
Yeah, he doesn't even swing at it.
He doesn't swing at the puck.
Yeah.
He doesn't go for the body, and then, as you said, turns the wrong way into Pedersen, and so you take him out of the play. Like, Mercer does not change course at all.
Yeah, even if he doesn't get a stick on it, force him to make a play with the puck.
Flatten him out to the blue line,
at least make it a little harder for him to not beeline it out of the zone,
and
right?
If you flatten him out and he's got to go parallel to the blue line and then get around, he's definitely going to get around you, but at least you get time for other guys to get back in the play. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I was saying on the broadcast, the default for a D-man in any of those circumstances is puck or body. You have to have one of them. You cannot come out of there with two, and hesitation's death. And he had like the trifecta there of just like, you know, things going wrong and then the next decision going wrong. So unfortunate night for most players.
I know you mentioned like how do you bounce back from this game and all these things, and like this felt like an entire four-game losing streak in one game.
Well, yeah, like Hank the Tank just texted in.
Yeah, how are they ever going to get – every like, five-minute segment somehow got worse. And you're like, oh, my goodness, is this night ever going to end?
Honestly, on Twitter, I had so many people replying to me saying, like, this team is trash. They're horrible. They're going to miss the playoffs. And somebody said rebuild, and Hank the Tank texted in. He's like, I know this sounds ridiculous. I'm ashamed to admit it, but this game was so bad it knocked me back a couple years, and it made me yearn for a rebuild. Very silly, I know, but that's how rough it was. And I get it. I mean, it's one of those games that's so jarring that you're not even sure how to react.
No, this is historically bad.
It's bad.
We just mentioned 2006. Yeah. It's historically bad this night.
Yeah.
Get it out.
And I know we're laughing. It's like my natural nervous energy is to laugh. In moments when I'm terrified and angry, I tend to laugh. And that's how it's manifesting right now.
I know. We have a full phone board. We're going to go to it in a second. Joe and Smithers is on the text. He's on the phone boards, and he's texting, and he's saying, take my call already.
There we go.
All caps. They're all fired up to get their takes fired off here tonight. All right. Listen, Brett. Wish this was a better one, but thanks for joining us. Always a lot of fun to have you part of the postgame show. Unfortunately, you know, just a really rough night. Canucks getting blanked 6-0 tonight, but we'll chat again very soon.
We will, and they can reset it. I don't think it's that hard to reset it. It's just kind of staples, right? We've heard it.
Yeah,
100%. We've heard it. I'm tuning into this talking press.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be fired up. All right, Matt. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
And we'll chat again soon. That's Brett Festerling calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor here tonight. A 6-0 Canucks loss at Rogers Arena. James in Qualicum Beach says he feels bad for the fans who went to the game tonight. I get it. Like a lot of people, not very happy with how this one went against the Devils. Let's go to the phone boards. We have full phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And if we don't get to you right away, just hold on. We'll get to you guys coming up in a few moments. All right, let's continue on the phone boards, and let's go to Grand Prairie, where we have Travis on the line. Travis, thanks for calling in, bud. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Oh, Dr. Sat, that was frustrating. I need a psychologist after that game. And I gave up a date with the girl to go see Venom. So, but anyway,
rough.
They haven't won since February 20, 2015. In 17 games, they're outscored 69-40. Three shutouts for the Devils, zero for Canucks. On and on and on. I don't understand how in a game they were called out by their coach. They come out and they give that effort. Like, money on the board must not be working, because that was pathetic. It's like they all forgot how to play and the pride. Like, if a team comes into town that whoops your butt all the time, don't you think there'd be just a little bit extra something in the gas for that? I don't understand how they could come out and do 6-0, given Markey's third shutout. That's unbelievable. They just couldn't play. Like, you guys are talking about they weren't skating, they weren't really hitting, all that kind of stuff. It was very frustrating because it looked like the effort was zero, just like against Philadelphia. And yeah, I feel bad for the fans that went as well.
Yeah, listen, next time, Joe, just take the date. Just take the date. You know, sometimes that's what you got to do. but thanks for the phone call, man. I always appreciate it. But, you know, this is a really bad performance. I mean, we're critical. We're going to talk about it. But it's... I'm not going to sit here and say they're a trash team because of the one bad performance, right? And it's early in the season still, and it's not like we're sitting here with a team that has a losing record after 9 games. But this was a very disconcerting game. And I think the issue with this game more than anything else is there were some trends that we had seen throughout the season, which you chalk up to early in the year. You know, you haven't found your game again. And instead of it improving, it would kind of crater tonight. It got even worse tonight. And I think that's what a lot of people have a problem with, and I'm sure that's what the coach is going to have a problem with. I hope it's one of those sobering moments moments like we spoke to Brett Festerling about that, hey, this really gets your attention. You thought maybe you're good enough to play the way you did and get away with it. This was a sign that you're not good enough to get away with playing that way. I don't know if that's how they saw it or not, but that's how, you know, the message would get sent through to these guys, I'd imagine.
I'm just trying to think the last time the vibes were this bad. Was it the home opener?
2 years ago?
Yeah, the 2022 season against Buffalo, right?
Yeah, yeah. When they came off that horrible road trip in the first game, they were getting fed by the Sabres, and the fans were throwing jerseys.
Yeah,
and
that was 5-1.
Yeah, they're chanting Fire Benning, and it was the nastiest atmosphere I can remember. I mean,
and it was, we, you know, our comment back then was like, it's the home opener, it's the easiest layup.
Yeah, and it was
bad. It was gnarly in the building.
I'd be very careful with, again, like, just saying that the Canucks are doomed and they're at that point. But this game here tonight, again, like, I can't sit here and say it's a redeeming quality. There's a redeeming quality about what we saw here tonight, and I think that's really a big part of the frustration. Let's take another phone call or two before we hit the break. Let's go to Smithers, where we have Joe on the line. Joe, very fired up, man. So what are your takes on what we saw here tonight?
Yeah, gentlemen, hey, thanks for taking my call. And you know what, Sal, like, thanks for de-escalating that my situation with answering my text there on the air. But I just got to say, like, I'm pretty fired up, and what propelled my call today, and I listen to you guys, I listen to 650, like, I work from home, you guys are on the radio constantly with me, nonstop all day, but you're at home, okay? Your captain's brothers are in your town right now, and I have a brother, he was 4 years younger than me, I never got to play against him hard, but you're coming in here, and what really propelled the situation for me is when I heard Brett going into the third period, talk about, and I love Festerling, he's a great guy. But as a fellow dub player, and I think he came into that league around 02 or something, I was already in the A, but to hear him say, we just got to come out, win a period, is what fired me off to send this call in and just be adamant about making this call. Is you're down 3-0 at home, your captain's brothers are up 3-0 on you, and our smallest guy is the only guy that gets in a fight. We are not playing well right now. There is nothing going on. We need to send a message. Who is out there to send a message? We got Rick talking behind the bench. We've all seen the highlights, okay? Now, this is in the third period when the coach does not come in and say that because he doesn't have to. It should be an argument between guys and a fight between our teammates on who's going to take who while we're putting Vaseline on our face right now, because I'm using all three of my fights right now before I get kicked out. That's what should have happened. That last period should have taken an hour. And Bettman, his visor rule and his instigating rule should take a hike, and we should send a message and be all over. Like, I would roll by the bench, and I wasn't a goon or nothing. I could put up points, but I like to mess it up. This is when you roll by their bench, and the next guy that scores right now is going to have a problem. We're going to be all over Sportsnet. We're going to be all over the news. If you get up 3-0 on us, this is what's going to happen. It's a disgrace to hockey, the warrior sport, the dedication, and what brought me up watching Rock'em Sock'em 1 is we just lay over again. For 20 years, we've been pushed around and beat up and embarrassed like this, and I'm sick and tired of it, but Bick, Sat, you guys are the best. You know, Dan, even with his accents, I love you guys all. I still will listen to you guys. It's always awesome. Thanks for my 2 seconds. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Hey,
take care.
Hey, Joe, thanks for the phone call. Passionate. Hey, listen, man.
Careful when you roll through Smithers. Oh, boy.
Joe's
Let's
make
go, Joe.
Joe's going to make you pay.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I mean, I did think they went way too meekly into the night in the third period.
Oh,
like, way
and
too
just
meekly.
For a fact check, it was 4-0 going into the final period.
Yeah, and then it's 6. Yeah, I know, but then it,
but nevertheless.
Yeah.
The point absolutely stands. The most redeeming moment was Connor Garland probably fighting neutral in a fight.
Yeah, and honestly, Garland, give him credit. He was trying to spark the guys, and it did not spark anybody, mm-hmm. and that's not his fault. All right, we're going to hit the break, but what are people saying in the text inbox, Bick?
650, boy, I got to send you some of these. Pathetic, couldn't watch the last period. Kevin in Kelowna, this one, pathetic. Unacceptable performance on home ice. They need to give their heads a shake. 650, that one was unsigned. Pathetic seems to be a term that's coming up a lot. This one, total trash, unbelievable. I'm a bit aghast. 650, 650. And this one, I'll put a big part of this loss on the coach, changing the lines minute by minute. Beer league stuff. He panicked. Not good to see. That's what's coming into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
All right. Keep those thoughts coming into the text inbox. We'll get some more of your thoughts and also more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll hear from Canucks players and the head coach as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on. Canucks losing 6-0 on home ice tonight against the New Jersey Devils. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. More coming up next on the Home Your Canucks Sportsnet 650.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central postgame show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Devils with it in the Vancouver zone. Nathan Bastian left corner. Carries up the wall, center. He passed to the back door. Thomas Tatar scores. Tucked it past Archer Shelov's, past the left pad, with Eric Brännström sprawling to try and break it up, and it's 6-0 New Jersey.
That last period should have taken an hour. And Bettman, his visor rule and his instigating rule, should take a hike, and we should send a message and be all over. Like, I would roll by the bench, and I wasn't a goon or nothing. I could put up points, but I like to mess it up. This is when you roll by their bench, and the next guy that scores right now is going to have a problem.
People fired up on the phone boards. Canucks getting drubbed 6-0 on home ice against the New Jersey Devils. Their worst home shutout loss since 2006. And their most lopsided loss is 2017 when they lost 7-1. Who did they lose 7-1 to again, Bick?
Nashville.
Nashville. So that was in 2017. So
Alex Burmistrov with
Burmistrov had the one goal. I remember that. And then after that, he had his contract rescinded.
Do you remember it?
I remember because I remember he had his contract rescinded like a few weeks later, and then he went back to the KHL. So that's how far we've come, yet not
Sad
far
shot.
Enough.
Visibly remembering the Burmistrov era.
Man, it was, you know, we thought he might. Listen, that era was so bad that we looked at like guys like Burmistrov, like, can this guy be something? Can he score 10 goals this season?
Oh, my goodness.
10, can he get 10?
That just happened.
These things do happen. All right, keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox.
Do you think that was his last goal in the NHL?
I think he may have been. I think he may have had one more afterwards, but. Yeah,
you give me a moment to
check look into up. It. You'll find it. But yes, this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And honestly, there's a lot of good thoughts. It was his last goal.
What was that game? He's like, you know what? I don't know, 7-1 losses hurt a lot.
It's like, I'm good. I'm going to go to the KHL. Gary in the North Shore says, obviously the frustration of the players and their efforts will resonate with diehard Canucks fans. Obviously, if the coaches can't make decisions on certain players to get a reliable three lines, then get out and move over. We are a winning city. Enough. Move certain players and let's get this on the rails. That's Gary in North Shore. Fire it up.
He only played four games after that.
I'm out. I told you he left not too long afterwards. I was pretty sure. And this text
he had
here.
A dash three game after.
He's like, I'm good.
He's like, it's over, man.
I'm
sometimes
out
you
here.
Just know.
It's done. I like this text. Aghast is such a good way to describe it. Like, I need a few games off after watching that to cleanse my aura. The entire team needs John Tavares amulets. That's what one text message says. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll hit more of your questions here as the show goes on. And we are awaiting the head coach. And as soon as he comes to the podium, we'll get him to you live here on the postgame show. So stay tuned for that. Now, before we do that, let's continue on the phone boards. People very fired up and want to share their opinions on what they saw here tonight. And let's go to Richmond, where we have Sam on the line. Sam, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 6-0 Canucks loss?
One word, abysmal. That was terrible. I thought I was watching a bunch of tykes even set up on the power play, for God's sakes. Like, it was awful. Like, I am just so disappointed in them. With the amount of firepower they have and just to get kicked in the pants in their own rink is just disgusting. It's just awful. What I wanted to talk about, which a lot of people have been talking about, I think Alvin's decision, especially in the summer, right now are turning out to be really questionable. Jake DeBrusque, not worth, I don't remember how much he's getting, but he's not worth that at all. Petey scored one goal and he's back to his usual self. It's just awful. And when I know the Boston Bruins are sort of struggling right now, but it still hurts me to, I had Zadorov and Lindholm for two players instead of Pettersson, who's worth one player and has done nothing. this is just like you guys said, this feels like I'm watching 2017 Canucks with Willie Desjardins. And this team is obviously not the same team as last year. And I think right now, not to be negative, but it's only going to get worse. And I hope not. But if it does, then I think that's on one person, the general manager. Anyhow, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call. That was Sam in Richmond, not very enthused with how things have gone so far this season, and isn't sure on management's moves. And we'll see. I mean, it's still very early in the season, and we'll see what Jake DeBrusk ends up doing. Not the greatest start for him, obviously, so far, yet to score a goal for the Vancouver Canucks. And yes, I mean, you know, Pettersson, somebody texted in and said, hey, I was at the game. I'm sorry if I can't see your name on this. We're getting tons of text messages. And listen, we're going to try to get to most of yours. If we don't get to yours,
this is your night as much as we can say some things, but this is definitely your night.
We're trying to do our best to get as many, but somebody mentioned they were at the game tonight and said, yeah, not that Pettersson was great, but I thought he was better than JT tonight. I thought JT really struggled. And you made the point, and listen, this is not to say that Pettersson was good, but tonight was not a game where you looked at it and said, hey, anybody was good. It was more about who inflicted the least amount of damage on the team.
Yeah.
And I thought JT had a really tough night. Like, he really was. And I don't think it was a coincidence, and we'll hear from the coach, Bick, that he came off the power play in the third period.
Yeah, and just look at his usage. 9 shifts in the first, 8 in the second, 7 in the third. And the minutes went down progressively. 6:51 in the first, 5:48, 5:12 in the third period. And, yeah, like, he was at fault for goals. Coming off the game in overtime, where, again, we don't spend a lot of time talking about 3-on-3 hockey, Sat. It's kind of fake hockey to me. And so when you have an egregious defensive breakdown, it's like, all right, it's 3-on-3, whatever, it happens. But he was at fault, clearly, for the OT winner in the game against Carolina. And then tonight, you think, all right, bounce back. That play at the top of the zone in the power play. You know, Jamie and I were talking about that in the admission. We saw a similar play, obviously, in the Chicago game where Hughes drops it to Miller and he works it to Besser, and they end up scoring on that play. But that one was so purposeful. It had intent behind it, the whole design of the play, and each mechanism worked to feed the next play. This just felt like, we're out of ideas. Let's just try something. Remember this drop pass? I'm just searching and hoping you're reading off me. Quinn Hughes wasn't even looking.
I mean, honestly, that whole thing got me, because this text here says the team is overpassing. They're passing up shooting chances to make a pass to an unexpected player, which is a great point. Exactly what you're mentioning there on that pass Miller makes to Quinn Hughes. And Quinn has no idea. He's gassed at the end of the shift, you can tell. And he's trying to set a pick for JT, and JT throws him the puck. But what really got me was, just rewind it about 2 or 3 seconds before that exchange with Hughes and with JT Miller. JT's on the half wall, on the left half wall. And he actually has Brock Besser screaming downhill for a chance into the slot. And he's looking right at him. But instead of feathering the pass to him, he gets it up to Quinn Hughes, and they do their thing at top. And the next thing you know, the puck turns over. There is overpassing, and there is a reluctance to kind of do the obvious thing. And I just don't understand why, when you have a guy open in the slot, you just don't find him the puck. And instead want to keep the puck on the outside and do these passing plays instead. Like, there is absolutely way too much passing going on and not enough execution on the opportunities that are presented to them. I mean, there were guys in open space that didn't get the puck. And I think the texture is right. Instead of going for the open guy, they're trying to pass it to the unexpected guy that nobody – they're kind of galaxy braining it almost. And it's like, you can't have success like that on the power play.
6:50. Again, even as we mentioned Pettersson, David from Kelowna has this text that came in earlier. He needs to stop that reverse body check. He never gets the puck, ends up behind the play, very ineffective. Yeah, at times it can be very forceful, and it looks like a great play. But we mentioned this the other day. Like, he did a reverse check, but he had an opportunity to go stick on puck and doesn't, and suddenly that pass gets up the wall. There's a play at the blue line. It creates an odd man rush the other way in the other games. Yeah, it stands out when you do it and you don't influence the puck at all.
Yeah, 100%. And like we were saying, I mean, this is easily the worst performance they've had in a very long time. This text says, people need to relax. First brutal game in a couple of years. Let's see how they're playing at the 20-game mark. And obviously, like we've been saying, whether it's been through the wins or the losses, you got to give it 20 games to see where they're at. But
that's true.
But the game here tonight was so bad, there is no way to approach this other than a blistering criticism, and players have to respond to this. Like, to me, these are the types of games that if you don't respond to, it shows a bigger issue. I'm not here to sit here and say, man, this team is cooked. They don't have it this year. But if you don't recover from this and you don't show that this was a blip, this is a game you're going to turn back to in a few months and say, hey, remember that game? That should have been a sign for us with what's going on right now. I hope that's not the case. It's too early to say. But this game was so bad, I can understand people being concerned about what this means moving forward.
Deep down, every fan understands a loss, right? They all can understand, hey, I'm a paying customer. You go out there, you might lose. You're paying for the attempt at a win. This was no attempt at a win. The paying customers did not even get close to an effort that would be close to a win. And when you don't even match a standard that you're close to winning, this is not about, hey, just relax. Every fan should be furious about this performance today.
Absolutely.
It's such a far departure from what the line of a standard is to achieve victory.
Well, last year, remember last year when the whole Luke Gastic thing happened at the end of the year,
right,
when he started criticizing, he's like, oh, the Canucks got cooked, and he was critical of the team. One of the reasons, I mean, I didn't take offense to him having an opinion, but one of the reasons I thought it was so offside was this was a team that worked so hard last year, that played the right way, that was so dedicated, shift in and shift out, worked harder than most teams. I mean, they came back from a lot of deficits. They were so committed to playing to their staples every game that you can't look at this team and be critical of them and call them a joke or call them a lousy team. Like, this team does not deserve to be called that because they proved to everybody that they're one of the hardest working, grittiest teams in the league as far as playing the right way. They didn't have a game like this last year. And right now, when you look at how gritty things have, how this game has gone, that's kind of where the issue is. And like, you didn't see this last year. And that right now, so far, you're looking at a game where this is a lot worse than what you saw. And when you have that standard set as being a team that is never going to lay down, you can't have a lay-down performance like this. Now, they happen. It just has to be a one-off. And unless they rectify this quickly, fans are rightfully going to be very frustrated with what they're seeing.
650-650. JT from Surrey, how many passengers were on the Canucks today? I counted 18. Everyone except Garland. This one, lost sight of what got them through last year, defensive structure, no time spent on it in preseason. Coach says he needs to be better. Lost sight of the staples. You've seen it from training camp. That is disappointing. This one, if that's the best effort the team can give, they may as well forfeit the rest of the season, only paying for a paycheck, not the love of the game. And this one, please, could you answer or help understand why change your system that helped you win? Like Talkett himself said a million times, they're not a run-and-gun team.
I mean, it's fair. At the same time, you want teams to add layers to their attack, and you want them to evolve and get better. You can't just play the same way consistently. You have to find ways to improve your game. But it's a fair criticism and a fair question that did you lose your identity trying to add some layers to it? And he himself admitted that that could be an issue. And I always go back to what Yannick Hansen told us. This was back in the first Willie Desjardins year where the Canucks made the playoffs. And the next year, they completely changed how they wanted to play, and the whole team was lost. And Yannick said, like, we were just done by in the beginning of the season. And I'm not saying this is happening here, but I understand what people are pointing towards. I still think it's early, and I still think as far as how they want to play and what they want to do, I can see how it can work. So I'm not there to sit here to say that they're cooked and they're not going to figure it out. But, again, it's one of those performances that you can be excused for really wondering what's going on with the team right now. Keep your thoughts coming into the text inbox. Let's continue on the phone boards. And let's go to Stuart in North Vancouver. Stuart, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Good evening. I hope you're both well. Thanks for taking my call as always. And, you know, I'm trying to do my best in my my ripe old age of 35 here to stay calm. I've been a Canucks fan for a few decades now. And so to prevent, you know, early male pattern bald loss, you know, with my hair, I'm trying to just keep everything cool in my head above waters. But I actually, you know, I was talking to a producer and he was like, what do you want to talk about tonight? And I said, I've got a Microsoft Word like document open. I wasn't kidding. I actually have some stuff typed up here. So I'm just going to kind of quickly rattle through it because this was a shocking game. Like, I think after a 3-4 goals go in, your anger turns into just despair and apathy. And yeah, going back to, I mean, the last game I can really remember that felt this bad, probably like a 2019-2018 game. I mean, it was shocking. The best Canucks employees on the ice tonight were Finn, the staff who shove up the ice, and Lankinen. He was on the bench. So, you know, they did great. But it was just crazy how, and this is something that goes back years, where the consistency from a game-to-game or week-to-week basis seems to elude this team. And I think tonight was a great example of where if Hughes and Miller don't go beast mode and, you know, carry the team on their backs, the rest of the team shrivels up like George Costanza in the pool. And I mean, it's just, it's crazy. You know, you feel for Shelovs. You know, he's looking like Patrick Waugh in that game where he got lit up with 9 goals or something. And I would have liked to have seen Lankanen in net rather than Shelovs, but I do wonder going forward, like, what was last year with the playoffs? Like, that couldn't have just been a streak of good luck because he was great for multiple games. I mean, the Petey angle, you know, we can wait for the Netflix documentary on that because who knows? He's on pace for 8 goals. I'll let you guys and Better Minds Than Mine break that down. But people, other callers have mentioned it, you know, the whole decision on not having Zadorov come back. The money was pretty equal to someone like DeBrusque, who I'm still kind of waiting to see. We hear he's a streaky guy, but I still just wonder what is going on with him. And I mean, tonight, if we had Demko, Lou, McLean in net, we still would have lost like 3-0, 4-0. So, I mean, we're 4-2-2 right now, which is not bad, but like at a deeper level, that record is masking a lot of our problems because I feel like, you know, that scene in Office Space where he just says, what would you say you do here? That's what I felt like watching this game tonight with the Canucks. It's like you look around and you think you can do better. We've seen you do better. And I'm not just talking to Petey. I'm just thinking like everyone could have done better. You guys said it yourselves right off the hop. There was not a good Canuck who had a good performance tonight. And that's crazy because I really thought after last season and all the goodwill and just the vibes and how we had really sort of, you know, turned that corner, I thought we were done with these games, these ones that just fell off a cliff. I mean, it was crazy. It looked like we were going up against like a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne boss with no gear. And we're thinking, oh yeah, we're ready. We got whipped. We got spanked. And I really hope that there's some accountability going forward because I know I can speak for every Canucks fan when I say that this does not leave a good taste in your mouth. And I mean, I can only imagine Demko and Joshua watching this at home. You know, they're just probably thinking, my God, what's going on here, boys? But I'm going to hang up. You guys have a great night, and I'll talk to you all later.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the phone call, Stuart. And as far as Lankanen, we talked about this too before the game today that, hey, Lankanen was going so well, you could justify going to him. At some point, you want to get your backup into the game as well. Was Shelovs versus Lankanen going to be the difference? Hey, if Lankanen makes a couple of those saves, maybe, does it wake the guys up instead of you being down 2 and 3-0? Perhaps, fair point. And I think when you lose like this, all this is fair. All these questions are fair. At some point, though, you have to get your backup netminder into a game. All right, we mentioned we were going to get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. We couldn't take it live because of a technical issue that happened. But
hang on. It's not a technical issue on our part.
No. It's a technical issue. The issue is he wasn't doing it from the normal room where we're set up to take it live and did it from
the
hallway.
They knew. Let's not run it live.
Yeah, so we couldn't take it live because of a technical shortcoming because of where they did the interview. Now, nobody cares about these details. So let's get to the audio.
We care.
We'll get to your thoughts on the text inbox and the phone boards coming up in a bit. But here's the Canucks head coach after a disappointing 6-0 loss at home against the New Jersey Devils. And
obviously, it was
Brought to you by Tiletown.
Obviously, it was, you know, everything went wrong, you know, right from the beginning. And then, you know, obviously, some guys were struggling, and it just rolls like that, and you're going to have games like this in an 82-game schedule. We just got to flush it down the toilet right now.
Not that you ever want to have games like this, but Tyler Myers talked to us about how there were elements of this kind of performance in your game leading up to this point. So does this get the attention of the group, do you hope?
Yeah, I mean, it should. You know, I mean, the attention was, we've already talked about it all week. So got to credit them. They shot the puck really well. We started to unravel a little bit, got frustrated, and, you know, everybody started kind of going rogue a little bit, and that's what happens. You know, you got to stick together. So, you know, like I said, we got to let this thing go and learn from it and move on.
How bad do you feel for Artie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to have a solid game. Like, right from the first 10 seconds, you know, we give up a 2-on-1. It's not probably the greatest thing to do, to give a guy that hasn't played in 2 weeks.
Wins mask some of what's been going on? I mean, give you guys a bit of a false sense of security that wasn't there.
Well, I mean, if you think you're playing well, then yeah. But I don't think I don't think anybody in there, and I hope not, thinks we were playing well. But there was like a spurts of stuff we liked about our game. but obviously we have not yet to put a 60 game. And we need to buckle down. We got to get some leadership here to make sure that we're ready to play. And myself, it's on me too. I got to get these guys ready to play.
Where's this power play at?
Yeah. Well, we're not shooting when we're supposed to shoot, and we're shooting when we don't. Like, it's just, we're so caught in between. We're slowing the power play down when it's a frustrating thing right now for us right now. It's a mental aspect right now, and we're going to have to keep working at it. We're going to have to work with the mind more than the physical.
What's the key to resetting?
Well, we have a day off tomorrow. For me, resetting, I you always try to experience. I was talking to Footy after the game. Is that you got to worry about your game, do something about your game. You can't worry about anything else. I think some of the guys need to do that. Just worry about your game. Get the day off. Don't think about hockey, and then Friday come in and have a really good practice. That's the only way you get out of these things. And like I said, it's a game you flush down the toilet. You learn from it, but you can't. We gotta let it go because it'll drive yourself crazy if you do.
When you say worry about your own game,
I'm sorry.
When you say worry about your own game, you mean go back, watch how your game went, understand what went wrong, what went right.
Yeah, I think as an individual, yeah, I think you have to look at your game. What am I doing wrong? And some guys are doing some right things. Don't get me wrong, but I think some guys are just, they're trying to go to A to Z without going through the procession. You know, your job first on the forecheck is, like I said, you don't have to kill it. Go through a guy. So then the other guy does this, that. What we're doing is, I'm going to try my own thing, and then all of a sudden you're disconnected. They hit the weak side, and they get an odd man rush. Our odd man rush coverage was probably the worst I've ever seen since I've been here. It reminded me when I took over the team. That's how bad it was tonight. So we got to make sure we buckle in. The rush against was not good. We were really, we were just, I don't know, we were out of sorts tonight.
I know you said that you don't want them thinking about hockey tomorrow, but do you send them away with video or?
No, not tonight. You don't want to watch that tonight. I think, you want to get some sleep. I don't think you want to watch that. But like I said, these guys, they know. It's our second regular season loss, so we just got to be careful here. We got a lot of good guys in that room. We just got to make sure that the accountability is there.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown. From vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And I think the coach was far more diplomatic than most fans have been, and also even our analysis has been. Obviously, he was critical. Obviously, he didn't like what he saw. But he took these things happen. We have to flush it and move forward. And I kind of wonder, we kind of asked, if because this game was so bad and everybody's going to be on them for how bad it was, they got booed off the ice as the final whistle went, that instead of him turning towards them too, he kind of took the more conciliatory kind of approach and didn't, dig in or put the knife in on them. But you could tell that obviously not very pleased with what happened here tonight.
He mentioned players know. And they know. And it's, a night like this where we get to say our things and the fans are certainly going to say other things. But they know. They know that this was a humiliating, embarrassing performance.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
it's
really just about how you actually respond for something like this, and to the element of they just flush it away and move on. I'll let you know right now, they're taking a day off tomorrow. They just announced no practice tomorrow.
Well, he announced that. He also said the only way through this is working through it. So you can't work through it tomorrow. So now you have to work through it the next game. Now, hey, this California road trip isn't exactly a murderer's row of teams you're playing. But nonetheless, there's still games that you have to show up for. And I think as far as Saturday goes against the San Jose Sharks, they've won two in a row. They're probably feeling better about themselves after losing the first, 7 or 8 games of the season. They made a trade to acquire Timothy Liljegren as well. So that's where the Canucks have to start things off. Now, it's not the hardest opponents. You're playing San Jose on Saturday, and you're playing the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday. You got to get good team performances in both those games. Honestly, I'm surprised. I thought for sure, Bick, that based on what we saw the other night, the Canucks would be better tonight. I did wonder because of what the coach said. We wondered that when we spoke to Brett yesterday too. When the coach comes out and says, hey, if we don't clean things up, we're going to lose a few games in a row here, it's a sign that he knows something or he's worried about something, and that certainly kind of came to fruition. But even with that and having that in the back of our minds, I didn't expect this type of performance tonight. Like, this was way worse than anything I thought. I thought, okay, hey, maybe you don't have your A game. You kind of play like you have this year. But this was not only flat, it was nowhere near a standard that this team should ever aspire to.
Yeah, this is a memorable loss.
Yeah.
Like, again, the games that we have referenced is like his second game in Seattle, 6-1. Home opener a couple of years ago, 5-1, jerseys on the ice. We're talking about 2017 losses, 7-1. We're talking about 2006 losses, 6-0 on home ice. This goes up with memorable losses. And usually, you know, the losses wash away at some point. Yeah, there's some heartbreakers in there. But generally speaking, you remember highlight goals. You remember wins. You remember good moments. This is going to be one that we reference over and over again because it was that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it's like, this is a standard that you cannot aspire to. Peter in Vancouver says, why a day off tomorrow? I think the main reason for it is a travel day, too. So tomorrow they're
No, they don't play till Saturday.
So Saturday. So they practice on Friday. Take day off tomorrow.
They'll probably travel Friday after the practice.
Practice, yeah. And that's probably what they do. Yeah, so that's going on. I thought it was Thursday for a second. I mean, this Canucks loss
was
so bad.
You do have to work days off in there at
yes.
some point.
Yes. No, I'm not just saying. Yeah. This Canucks loss was so bad that I'm all discombobulated. I have no idea what day of the week it is anymore. Keep those thoughts coming into our text inbox.
Follow the staples.
650, 650. I'm falling apart. Jeffro says, definitely different start than last year. Big disappointment tonight. That's from Jeffro. And James in Qualicum Beach says, guys going rogue, disconnected.
Yeah,
mental,
that was an
more than
phrase.
Physical. For sure. And on the power play, he sounded the most exasperated speaking about the power play. And he said, guys are passing when they're shooting, when they should be shooting. They're not shooting when they should be, you know, passing.
But also he mentioned the mental aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, you see it. They slow down on the power play. And people are texting in, too, and they're saying, like, hey, he's the head coach. He's part of the power play. How come he's not doing different things? How come he's not getting these guys to do different things? I think we're beyond the guidance part. It's kind of like the power play is a microcosm of where Pedersen's game is at as well. Like, we can sit here and say all he needs to do, but it's clearly something within himself he's got to figure out. And on the power play, these guys, you can hear in the exasperation, like, hey, we talk about doing things differently. Like, this is not how we're set up to work on the power play. These are not the things we talk about. But when they get out there, it's like this mental block that has them slow down. So, like, they're very methodical and predictive on the power play. It's like they telegraph everything they're about to do.
Certainly did tonight.
Yeah.
Well. Certainly did tonight with a pass that was easily read by Nico Hischier and made a good play going the other way to set up the Dawson Mercer goal that really started the downslide of it all.
Yeah, this text says, how much more of this will it take for us to be justified in questioning the coaching? In the back of my mind, I wonder if Mike Yeo was a real part of Talk's success last season. Hey, I still think it's early to be like, hey, you know, the guy who won the Jack Adams last year isn't a good coach. But you're allowed to question. He even took responsibility, saying it's on us,
every
too.
Every thought tonight
it's fair.
Has merit. Even the entire team needs John Tavares amulets tonight. Like that.
Yeah, we don't need the Tavares.
Pedersen is proving to be the big country of the team. It's a good text.
Man, people are fired up. Like I said, dude, people.
This
people
one from
are fired
Imran
up.
In Richmond. Will it even mean anything if we beat San Jose? I don't think so. And you know, honestly, that's a fair point.
Fair point. But hey, at the end of the day, all you can do is play the games that are in front of you.
Yes.
Go out and win the game, get the points. But you know what I want to see?
From the fans' trust. I understand
sure,
from the players' mindset, you get 2 points. But from a fan's confidence, is 2 points against San Jose going to be like, all right, we're back
but
on
it's
track?
Not even, I don't even care about the 2 points as much. You have to get the 2 points at San Jose. But I want to see them play a good game. I want to see them play a clean game. I don't want to see them give up odd man chances after odd man chances. I don't want to see them have a power play look like it's slogging through quicksand. Like that's, I don't want to see that against San Jose. You don't have to, you know, be convinced by it, but I want to see them play a far cleaner game, something they did not do here tonight. All right, before we hit the break, let's take another phone call, and let's go to Brett in Horseshoe Bay. Brett, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts after the game tonight?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Just got on the Queen of Surrey here on the way back to Sunshine Coast.
Attaboy. That's a tough one to come out for, and it's not as fun driving back home, hey?
Oh, man, what a journey for that.
Yeah, rough.
It wasn't what I was hoping for tonight. But,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think just a couple points. Like, I mean, you think about Hughes going out tonight and having to face his brothers and his teammates putting that performance in. I just think, you know, in the locker room or whatever, what's going through all those guys' minds to come out with that kind of effort, you know, it was horrible to watch. And most of the people sitting around, like, we had great seats tonight, and most people are just interested in the game because there wasn't really much to look at, you know. I don't think they tested Markstrom that much, and I could see the way that Hughes was playing was just, he was frustrated. He was trying to shoot the puck a lot. And I mean, I know he's been working on a shot and shooting a lot more, but you could tell, like, this game meant a lot to him and he was trying to do it all by himself and he didn't have any support out there. So between him and Garland, you know, having a fight, there wasn't really much else that was notable tonight other than the gaffes from, you know, the way that Myers started the game with kind of a beer league play, and it kind of just went downhill from there. So I don't know. It's probably the worst game I've ever been to. I've been going since I was a kid, Pacific Coliseum and onwards. But tonight was just, I think, the worst game I've ever been to. And it just came down to the lack of effort. I just couldn't believe how disinterested they were. And I thought the third period they'd come out and actually try a bit, but it was awful out there. It was pretty hard to watch. And you could see everyone leaving the game early. And it was one of those nights where you just hope they can turn around, but it doesn't really give you much faith when you see at least the lack of effort that they're putting in. There was just not much there.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Brett, thanks for the phone call. Get home safe. Appreciate the phone call. And I think, yeah, as far as Hughes, it makes a great point. Like, everybody on the team knew how much this mattered to Quinn Hughes, how excited he was for this game. It's also fire. They were paying tribute to firefighters before this game, too. Quinn Hughes, a big part of that as well, those guys in the building. And I'm not saying you need all these external things to get yourself up, but it's the captain of your team. His brothers are in town, and this is the best you could do. And I'm not saying Quinn was great either. I mean, probably forcing the issue. He wasn't clean.
So just really quickly, traditionally we reference the possession time.
Yeah.
And Quinn hovers around, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, and sometimes he's gotten to 3:05, and we're like, oh, wow, big night for Quinn at 3:05. 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Almost 4 minutes, yeah.
Of him holding the puck. I do wonder if there's an element of, like, that's a lot.
It's excessive.
That's excessive.
He was trying to do too much, for sure, right?
The next closest is Luke Hughes at a minute 52.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes. Yeah. Almost a full 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Less.
That's a lot.
That's massive. All right, we are going to get to more of your phone calls on the other side. Please hang on to your phone lines and more of your text messages. Plus, we'll get some player audio. JT Miller has some thoughts about how bad the performance was tonight. You don't want to miss that. Plus, Ian McIntyre join us as you're listening to the Canuck Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Canuck Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lions are in the blender coming off the power play. We'll see if they stay that way or if Rick Tocchet reverts to the lines he's had. But here's Heischer with speed for the Vancouver line. Left circle, Timo Meier with a toe drag. He scores! Hard wrist shot for the left circle. Through a screen, beats Archer Shelovs, and it's 3-0, New Jersey.
What we're doing is, I'm going to try my own thing, and then all of a sudden you're disconnected. They hit the weak side, and they get an odd man rush. Our odd man rush coverage was probably the worst I've ever seen since I've been here. It reminded me when I took over the team. That's how bad it was tonight. So we got to make sure we buckle, and the rush against was not good. We were really, we were just, I don't know, we're out of sorts tonight.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet. After a 6-0 Canucks loss on home ice against the New Jersey Devils, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. And Bick, what are the people saying on the text inbox?
650-650. Kirk and Kukulam, the boys, let themselves down tonight, and their coach. Not the end of the world. Redemption is always around the corner. That's Kirk and Kukulam. Hannah, I feel like we managed to lose every board battle on both ends of the ice, and even if we won one, the Devils just got the puck back seconds later anyways. The true Halloween horror story. Connor from Burnaby, this was the first game going... Sorry, this is my first time going to a game with my mom in over 10 years. Safe to say, it'll be the last. Don't do that. Bring mom back to the rink.
Last game can't be this. It has to be a better game than this. Now, I'm not saying come back to the next game, home game, at some point. You can't let this be the final memory of a Canucks game at Rogers Arena. Come on.
It's like shooting in a basketball game, right? Leave on a make.
Yeah, you have to leave on a make. Yeah. Never leave the court unless you have a make.
650-650. When are you guys going to wake up to the fact that this team is bad? House radio. Embarrassing. 6:56.
Catching strays.
I'm just reading this one. Josh from Kelowna, two thoughts from the game tonight. Really surprised Shelovs was not pulled after the third goal. Might have changed the momentum, and every time the Devils had the puck, they looked lethal. That's Josh from Kelowna.
No, they certainly did look lethal. I'm not sure how lethal they truly were. The Canucks certainly made them look like the most dangerous team in the league tonight. This text here from Misu from Adrenaline City, Adrenaline Van City in East Van. Let the boys get some rest, spend some time with their families, hand out some candy, and reset. Next game will be the a statement game. So Misu believes the Canucks are going to bounce back. All right, we'll get to more of your thoughts on the text inbox. Let's go back to the phone boards and let's go across the planet to Australia, Melbourne, where we have our friend Miles on the line. Miles, always good to hear from you, man. Now, what are your thoughts here tonight?
Boys, you're overthinking everything. The reason why the Canucks lost tonight is because it's Halloween over here right now, and my friend Amy wore the spookiest jersey for a Halloween costume ever. A Beau Horvat skate jersey.
Oh, no.
And I told her, it's not going to be good, bad omen, and look what happened. So it's Amy's fault, and I think that we can all calm down now and look ahead. But in all seriousness, though, guys, if we didn't have Rick Tocchet as the coach, I would be worried, but he is going to kick their behinds into getting something done about this. So, yeah, one loss isn't so bad, and thank God Rick's at the helm.
Yeah, 100%. Miles, hey, thanks for calling in. And listen, I would blame Bo Horvat more than your partner for that. You know, put a hex on that jersey. That's what happened on Halloween.
Are you expecting me to say? I got no comment.
Like, I'm not saying anything.
You ain't getting me say anything.
You have anything else to say?
Always 650, Miles. 650. The players should give the fans a refund tonight. That was not entertainment. That was humiliation.
Yeah, it was not great.
I don't know if the players are forking that money over, but maybe the organization in that spot.
Yeah, Lotso says, what a stinker. Light a match. Open the windows. I do kind of love listening to guys scramble because it's so bad. Put a bunch of emojis, including a poop emoji and a hockey stick and a laughing emoji. So a bit of everything coming into our text inbox. All right, we'll try to take some more text here, but let's continue on the phone boards. Fans are very fired up tonight. And let's go to Delta, where we have Daniel on the line. Daniel, thanks for calling in. What thoughts do you have for us tonight?
Hey, Jens, thanks for having me. It's a funny one. After hearing Tocchet's post game and sort of just reiterating some of Miles' thoughts from Australia there, if Tocchet wasn't our coach here, I think I'd be in a bit more distress. But we have to have faith in this coaching staff that's proven itself the last year and a half here. And I almost, part of me thinks that Shilov didn't get pulled intentionally because we almost need a little wake up call here. And I think a 6-0 loss, it almost kind of just nudges the players a bit and says, okay, boys, like we haven't put together a 60-minute effort. This is what happens when we face a team that's up to standards of the New Jersey Devils. And beyond that, it feels like a good analogy would be, Rex Ryan in 2010, just to like bury the football, let's bury this tape, move on. And let's see if, we can forget about this. If this happens again in the next month, I'm worried, but today I'm staying positive. It's one game. I think if Shilov was a little sharper, it could be a 2-3-0 game and we wouldn't be melting down like we are. So, head held high and I'm not concerned, boys. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Daniel. Hey, a sober thought. I'm not the biggest Rex Ryan fan.
I appreciate the analogy, Daniel. Can we choose Bill Belichick? Can we choose somebody that won playoff games and won Super Bowls?
Yeah, not like the Jets head coach.
Rex Ryan? No. Come on.
No, I get the but I would say what Dan, the overarching point from Daniel, and
San Jose. Like, that's the move.
Well, the overarching point from Miles and from Daniel, that they believe in the head coach, that they would be more concerned if they didn't think the head coach can rectify all this. And we've had
all
a lot
the more reason to choose Bill Belichick to reference.
but I understand, right? And I think, again, he won the Jack Adams last year. Quinn Hughes calls Rick Tocchet the greatest coach he's ever had, right? A lot of people speak very highly of Tocchet. And, yeah, you can certainly be critical of him, too, because like he himself said, he's the coach of the team. He bears responsibility. If the team's not ready to play and plays poorly, preparation's part of that equation, and he's part of it too. But I don't have coaching concerns with this team. I really don't. They haven't proven to me yet that I should be concerned. Maybe one day they will, but right now I'm not concerned about the coaching staff. And, you know, it's a good take amidst all the frustration here tonight about how the Canucks performed and what they need to do moving forward. You want to get a text or two in before I hit? We go back to the phone boards?
650. Genuine question. What is this team's identity? They're not a fast team. They're not a team of snipers. Not a team with great chemistry in passing. They're not a big and heavy team. So what are they? In the parlance of our time, they just seem mid across the board.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, of course, it's fair. I'm not sure. I mean, it's funny because we were talking about how they have such great secondary scoring and they're so much faster and so good on the forecheck a couple games ago, and now it's like they're mid. You know, it's funny how it can change so quickly. But, of course, you look mid when your best players are nowhere near where they need to be. Would you have that take if Pettersson right now had 12 points in 8 games or whatever, or if JT Miller was better defensively, or if Quinn Hughes had cleaner games? He's been great, but he hasn't been stellar through game 1 all the way through game 9, right?
By the way, 26 minutes tonight for Quinn Hughes in a 6-0 game. Now, he did play 9 minutes in the first period, 10 minutes and 11 seconds in the second period, and then 7 in the third period when the game clearly
was out
got
of
away. But in the third period, because I don't think the Devils took a penalty in the third period.
No, the Canucks. No, I think.
No, the Devils didn't take a penalty
in
the third period.
No, they didn't. The Canucks didn't do anything in the third period.
So here's Quinn Hughes' shift length in the third period here. There's a 44-second shift, a minute 6, a minute 41, 2:01, 41 seconds and 48 seconds. Mm. Boy, those are some long shifts. He ended up taking 6 shifts, and he played 7:01. That is that's a lot.
Yeah, 100%.
2:01 even strength.
That's not good. But, hey, you know, again, how many shifts was he overdoing right? But trying to make something happen, nobody else was. He was almost trying to will the team back into it, but it didn't happen. Tatiana in Langley says, I was at the game tonight. Obviously disappointing loss, but shout out to Connor Garland for trying to get the boys going. Was definitely the highest energy the crowd got to all night. I just wanted to show some positivity and appreciation because everyone needs to remember that isn't who this team is and will bounce back big. Is U2 playing in California while we're there? Someone should look into that. Tatiana and Langley. Outstanding, outstanding reference from Tatiana in Langley. Yeah, U2, hey, that was a turnaround for the Nashville Predators. So if they plan to go to a U2 concert,
there
cancel it.
Go.
That's what you should do. And if you do that, perhaps you go on a big run. But the Garland moment, that's true, because Garland dropped the gloves with Eric Halla.
He tried.
He really did, man. And honestly, again.
And the crowd did the whole Connor Garland chant.
Honestly, the crowd did everything they could. The crowd was into it. And I think as much as we talk about how this crowd has been stellar, I have no issues with them booing the guys off the ice tonight because they did everything they could throughout the game to get the guys going. They showed no energy in the third. And again, if you're losing bad, you're on home ice, okay, fine, it happens. But how do you finish the game? They went so quietly into the night tonight, and I understand why so many people are upset. We had the text message that just said PTSD, because this game reminded you of those poor habit Canuck teams from a few years ago that didn't have the heart, it seemed like, or had the desire to do what's necessary to win, that weren't pushing everything they could to come back and win hockey games. But generally, the identity of this team has been they fight to the last minute. That did not happen in the third, and that's why the fans were justified in booing them at the very end. But up until that point, I think the fans, to Tatiana's point, were doing the best they could. I mean, they gave Garland all the love you could possibly imagine after he dropped the gloves with Eric Halla.
Yeah, it's harsh to boo your own team. Absolutely.
Well, you don't go into the game thinking you wanting to do that, and you don't go and spend the money and come into
That's
this building.
That's justified tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
It's absolutely justified. It's Jordan from Pitt Meadows texting right now. There are two young kids beside us wearing first Canuck game pins on their chest. They brought energy all game long, and the team let them down. The team shouldn't be embarrassed for letting all fans, including these young Canucks fans, down tonight. And there's a lot of people that have texted in. There's like, I was at the game tonight. Dreadful.
Yeah.
Just dreadful. And I'm cleaning up some of the language and shortening some of the sentences here. But there was a huge onslaught of sentiment from that tonight. Again, we're trying to read as many as we can. We said this is your night because there's not a lot
honestly,
we're going to say about it.
We've seen a lot of first-time texters.
Yeah.
Again, because of the way everything is set up, we can now tell, at least since this has been set in. And so a lot of fans that were
more
here.
More technical talk of our production.
Again, I'll refrain from going any further on it. But long story short, it's very clear a lot of people are texting in for the first time this season, and they're very disappointed with what they saw. Drew in Port Moody, however, says, if this team wins 6-0 on Saturday, we'll look back at this game as a character-building game. The team is in charge of its own destiny. It's still very early in the season. That is Drew from Port Moody. All right, let's go back to the phone boards, and let's go to Randy in Vancouver. Randy, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight? Randy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy.
I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, man, we got you. What are your thoughts?
All right. So some of us thinking about over the last 2 weeks, and they seem to be playing slow. So I started to think, are they just slow, or are the teams adjusted to them and slowing them down? There's nothing in neutral zone, as you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching tonight in the first period, watching a great team, glad they're not in the Pacific, they were playing so fast, and we kept up with them for like three shifts, and all of a sudden the wheels fell off. And I was like, wonder if we're just slow. And then all of a sudden you watch, and it's like, yeah, the other team's dynamic coming into the zone, backing up to D, but the other team's D just standing up at the blue line. So it was like, the adjustment is standing at the blue line because, you know, there's no dynamic flow through the neutral zone, it seems. So it's a thing I've been thinking about. I'll leave it with you guys.
Yeah. No.
And like to hear what you say.
Hey, great stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call, Randy in Vancouver. They certainly do not get any speed through the neutral zone when it comes to the power play and their entries. I mean, even tonight, five on five.
Like, there was a moment where three guys tried advancing past the red line, and the puck carrier brought it. I'm blanking because, look, there was a lot of blurs of who was on the ice in moments tonight. But, like, all four guys that are trying to enter the zone, like, no one was moving.
No one was just standing.
Even the puck carrier had to navigate laterally, and there was no option. So, I'm going to hit this guy into the hole, and he's going to break the line. Nobody was moving.
It looked like the skater with the puck was trying to go through an obstacle course. Yeah. With guys stationary. You know, I don't want to call them
around
pylons.
Their own players.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to call them pylons in a derogatory way. I just mean, like, they're so stationary. It's the guys trying to navigate through. These guys are standing still on the ice. And especially on the zone entries. And, you know, we were sitting watching a game on Press Row, and Landon Ferraro was sitting next to us, too. And, you know, obviously, we spoke about the game, Landon and myself, during the TV intermissions. But just talking throughout the game, and we just kept pointing out, and you kept seeing, it's like how little speed the Canucks had on their zone entries. And then compare it to the Devils. Quick, through the neutral zone, fast, onto pucks, and they're getting set up into the zone. The Canucks are having such a hard time. They're not generating any speed through it as well. Even with the drop pass, the thing that gets me with the drop pass too, Bic, is I'm all for it. I don't have any issues with using the drop pass, but if you use the drop pass, you're supposed to come with speed. But does a puck carrier that grabs the puck after the drop pass ever skate with real speed? Do you see that? I don't see it very often.
Yeah.
It's like they loop around before getting the puck. There's nobody beelining it through. And they're kind of meandering through the neutral zone.
Well, they're also trying to time it up. Because you see sometimes the two trailing players try to go in separate lanes and they try to make that pass.
Yeah.
You kind of need to be in sync there.
Well, you do. But you're also going east-west a lot. You're not getting the north-south speed. So I think Randy's making a great point about, you know, them being slow through the neutral zone. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side. Hang on to your phone lines. We'll get to those coming up in a little bit. Plus, we'll hear some thoughts from JT Miller and at least a part of what Tyler Myers had to say about the game tonight. He himself struggled, but he was very honest with their performance this evening. A lot of text messages. This one here says, Pedersen's unprecedented drop in play will be an anchor for 8 years. This team is cursed to the core. So that's obviously another take that's very concerned about Pedersen, but also the little PTSD of this core and this team and some of the struggles from the past. And when you have a game like this, I think that brings back those emotions. And hopefully it's the last time those emotions come up for a long time.
Mike and Burnaby, I don't know, guys. This doesn't feel like a playoff team. Either the ice is bad or the Canucks collectively need new sticks. They can't even make simple passes. German from Surrey, season just started. Why do they keep coming back to the same power play? Talkett is stubborn. Also, this team is being outworked everywhere. Your thoughts? Yeah, certainly tonight they were crushed along the boards and the neutral zone everywhere this evening.
Yeah, they certainly were. Keep your thoughts coming into the text inbox, 650-650. We'll take your calls and your text messages, plus we'll hear from Canucks players as the Canucks Central postgame show continues, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Devils win the draw. Here's Dawson Mercer with a nice move to center. Chance for a two-on-one. Mercer, left circle. Nico Hischier to the net. He scores! Nico Hischier scores his team-leading 10th goal of the season just 53 seconds into the first period. The Devils score on their first shot and take a 1-0 lead.
And unfortunately, Myers, there's a 50-50 puck that comes off the draw. Myers jumps in. He's a little too late. Hischier's on a two-on-one. He keeps it, and he's got all the time. There's a clear-cut two-on-one from the red line in. Gets it over and goes top blocker. And a tough way to start for the Canucks.
Tough loss for the Canucks tonight. 6-0 on home ice against the New Jersey Devils. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, Satyar Shah and Bick Nazar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to your phone calls coming up in just a moment. But before we do, Bick, let's get a couple of these text messages on. I mean, endless amounts coming in here tonight after an embarrassing loss on home ice.
Capitalist texting in, 650-650. Is it worth putting the lotto line back together? San Jose game feels like a potential confidence-building game. Now, there was the run last year where they put them together, and it offensively exploded. Defensively, they had some issues, and obviously that's why it ended as well. But they went to it last year, and it worked offensively, at least. So there's a thought coming in to the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Steve in Squamish, we're a month into the season, close to it, and Pedersen, DeBrusk. What do you do with these guys? They have shown nothing. What is going on with them?
Yeah, I mean,
there was a moment, a 3-on-3 chance on a zone entry right after Hischier goal, the first one, where Pedersen had a moment to send it to DeBrusk, who had gotten in behind Kovacevic, and Mercer just deflects the pass, and it goes up into the glass. But aside from that, again, we're scratching for moments here of players. DeBrusk had the turnover that ended up leading to... I think it was the... I can't even remember which goal now. There's so many...
I mean, there's six goals to go through. And honestly, I thought, so the first goal happens, and it's off the faceoff in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
And the Canucks kind of win the faceoff, but the puck kind of falls into no man's land a little bit.
Oh, it was a Siegenthaler post.
The Siegenthaler one? Okay. But Tyler Myers, he just, you know, we talked about it with Brett. Like, he jumps in. He doesn't wave at the puck either and doesn't stop. He doesn't do anything to slow down the 2-on-1 going the other way. And then until the second goal, which was another self-inflicted Canuck mistake, it wasn't like the Devils, like, there was much happening in the game, and then after that it just, like, the wheels fell off. But up until then, it was kind of a low event, hey, we're being careful, low event game, not much happening going either way, and it's two self-inflicted mistakes, and the next thing you know, like, everything fell apart.
Well, the three goals in the second period are all similar.
Miller leaves a pass
for Hughes, doesn't connect, and back the other way. Hoglander leaves a puck for a D-man who gets closed on right away, and the shot gets blocked, and then Sherwood drops it off the boards, and it's a 3-on-3 the other way. And the 3-on-3 became a 2-on-1 real fast. And all three goals had the same issue. High in the offensive zone, bad pass, rush chance the other way. Mercer, Meyer, Plott all get goals.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to the phone boards, and let's go to Poco, where we have Dan on the line. Dan, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I was at the game tonight. First one in a while. It was an unfortunate one, obviously.
Yeah.
I called in after the last game, I think it was, and talked about the power play, kind of broke it down and how I thought Quinn Hughes should be quarterbacking it from the right half wall, completely change everything. Just, I want to talk about Tocchet, but just quickly on that, like the one thing that hasn't been tried is Quinn Hughes off the point. Like, they have tried a little bit, move little things around here and there. Everything goes through Quinn Hughes, though. Like, moving him changes everything. Maybe it's the answer, maybe it's not, but, like, listening to Tocchet exasperated at the power play when he hasn't really changed the philosophy, he hasn't changed the biggest piece that he can change, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of exasperated at Tocchet a little bit. Like, he's been maybe my favorite coach quickly of all time, like, and it's his candidness, it's his honesty. Like, I absolutely love listening to talk.
the culture. Like, he completely, obviously, this team, we owe a lot to Tockett for turning the team around. He's fantastic. But, like, when it comes to, like, X's and O's and stuff, like, there's, he's not perfect. Nobody is. And when it comes to things like that, like, I feel like he's either stubborn or has lack of vision on some things. Like, in the playoffs last year, I was kind of exasperated myself going, how is he, we're getting 12 shots a game, and he just keeps leaving the lines together, like, game after game. And it was the same with the power play, like, nothing. And it's just, why are they not changing anything? And I think it was, like, game five against Edmonton, finally reunited the third line, which should have been together at the end of the regular season, right? It made no sense to me. But they got 35 shots and they won the game. It's like, oh, like, there you go. Like, and then it just doesn't, it's always such a slow build to, like, it takes so much to change anything. Coming into camp this year, I was shocked to hear Tockett say, we're going to work on the, like, 5-on-5, trying to, we need more scoring. Great. Yeah, they do. But the, like, the rush chances, they had some of the best 5-on-5 game, maybe in the NHL last year. Like, they're unbelievable. Like, why are you trying to fix what isn't broken and neglecting the power play? Like, if you just leave that 5-on-5 alone, yes, more rush goals would be nice. They were getting that from the third line before it got broken up last year, but that's besides the point. Like, work on the power play. If your 5-on-5 is working, that power play, do you guys remember when Tock first arrived and he broke down the 5-on-5? Like, he broke down the team where it was, like, kind of laughable. People were laughing like they're, like, blowing the whistle every 5 seconds. Well, it worked, didn't it? Like, it was, look at what it did. Why would he not take that same philosophy to the power play? Like, he just keeps saying, go execute, go execute. Like, they're not getting any direction. There's nothing new tried ever. There's
I hear. I think the one thing I would say, and thanks for the phone call, Dan, I always appreciate your thoughts and call back in next game as well. The thing about the power play, I don't disagree. I think, you know, try different things for sure, but I think what they're trying to get on the power play is to not be methodical. And if you slow it down on the power play and say, deliberately do this, you're going back to being methodical and mechanical. They're trying to get away from doing that. So I think it's different as opposed to rotations and as far as what you need to do positionally, playing 5-on-5, knowing responsibilities, understanding how to protect the middle, whether you're playing man-on-man or zone defense, and how to pay attention to your responsibilities versus the power play, where a lot of it is predicated on what you're seeing from the penalty killers and where the space is open. And you can't just be make up, stop, make this pass, stop, make this look, because it has to be fluid. And I think they want to get away from overthinking and being methodical. But he's not wrong. When the power play is struggling this much and the coach is here, he deserves scrutiny over how it's not been successful recently. So they do have to find some solutions here.
Yeah, and, like, the best moment in the power play was probably a cross-crease pass from Pettersson to Garland, and Garland wasn't ready to shoot it. And so this awesome chance went begging on that four-minute power play. You know, I think there was two slot passes.
Yeah.
One, it was a half chance for Besser where he kind of gets closed down, but he still gets a shot off. And then the other one was Miller to Pettersson into the slot, but Miller was on the right flank, and Pettersson was skating towards him. So even as the pass went to him, first of all, he's a left-handed shot, so he can't get a shot off. But also, he's skating right to Miller.
Yeah.
And suddenly, he's got to skate out of the slot and start everything up. It's, again, good shout there by Dan, and plenty of things to work on. And I think I understand what Tockett is saying about, oh, it's mental. But even the on-ice version, I was like, I don't even know. I feel like I can see what's trying to be attempted.
Yeah,
at times.
Exactly. It does not look – honestly, it just looks slow. And he's and people are right when they point out how slow they are on his entries, but he's also when they have the puck in the offensive zone set up against the PK. Let's take another couple phone calls before we play some player audio and get to Ian McIntyre. Let's go to Vancouver. Brendan is on the line. Brendan, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick thought and then two quick questions. I think I'm a little different than a lot of Canucks fans. I understand that, like, the criticism around Pettersson is pretty justified. I mean, he's making $11.6 million, and that's a lot of money. But I think that, I don't know, he's of my opinion, is he's still a pretty young player, I think. And his struggles are definitely between the years. I think we just need to give him a little bit more time. But my question is, what would you guys do Like, if you guys could make the roster decisions, the lineup decisions, what would you guys do to get Pettersson going? And what would you guys do to fix the power play? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I mean, we went through the power play quite a bit. What would I do to fix the power play? I mean, honestly,
I don't know if it fixes it, but like, I think the next rotation is like Sprong or DeBrusco's in there for Garland.
Yeah, I would put Sprong in for Garland. I put Pettersson in the bumper spot and keep him there, mm-hmm. and then have JT Miller on the right half wall, Besser on the right half wall, and go back to that set that they had against Chicago, but start the power play that way and have Sprong play maybe off the bumper and shifting with Besser. You can have those guys interchanging their spots.
As far as Pettersson, I don't think there's any like external fix.
He's got to figure it out.
Dude, you got to be better.
100%.
That's honestly it.
100%. Now, we're going to get to IMAC in a second, but I wanted to play this clip from Tyler Myers tonight. I think he pretty much summed up how Canuck players felt about this performance. JT Miller mentioned earlier that there wasn't enough FU in the Canucks game, and that needs to kind of be there in their game. But here's what Tyler Myers had to say about how they performed tonight.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. We should be embarrassed. You know, it's... even through some wins the last couple weeks, there's some things within our game right now that we got to clean up, and you know, we got to find our identity. You know, right now we're not there yet, and we know it, and we just have to, you know, as tough as tonight was, we just have to keep working and come out next game and be ready to respond.
That is Tyler Myers, and I think he's right. He calls it an embarrassing performance, and that he feels like they should be embarrassed and feels like they're nowhere near their identity yet. And I think tonight, pretty much, that's the truth. That's what we saw. And to maybe make sense of this and to perhaps provide a bit more knowledge than we can provide, we have the man called the Triple Threat joining us. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, you're about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Yes, sense and knowledge. Pretty much my identity. That's my identity, isn't it? I'm saying that sarcastically. I don't know if that comes across on the radio, but yeah, I don't know that I can make sense of that for you, other than you make mistakes long enough and you get away with it and you get away with it and you get away with it, and then you don't. Mm-hmm. And tonight was the night that they didn't get away with anything.
Yeah.
Talkett said everything went wrong, and I think just about everything did. You know, we haven't seen a game like that. I didn't go back and check the first month. There was a Talkett bump, and then there were some rough games after that.
There was a 6-1 Detroit game.
Right. This is the worst home loss since 2000, or home shutout loss since 2006.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the worst loss last season, you guys have probably talked about this, because you have at least the knowledge that I have. And certainly... The stats. Well,
debatable. The stats, perhaps.
You guys have way more stats than me, you analytics.
Well, Bick has all the spreadsheets.
Yeah, but I mean,
those spreadsheets aren't going to spread themselves.
Yeah. I always wondered about that, the spreadsheets. Like, who looks at spreadsheets?
Bick, I mean, you can break off your spreadsheet. He's got tons of spreadsheets.
That's a spreadsheet? Okay.
Yeah.
This is great visuals for radio, by the way.
Yeah, very good, very good.
I lost my train of thought.
Worse home loss.
Oh, worse.
He was mesmerized by the spreadsheet.
Thank you. Yes. See, that's why you drive the show. That's why you're in control, Sat. I know that Bick is always wanting that seat at the back. It's kind of like the again, for people who can't visualize, it's like the U.S. Enterprise. You know, the captain's chair is farther back. It's not the one with the most glamorous view of the ice, but it's the one with the most power. Well, and Sat occupies it.
I'm pretty sure that's Lena's chair. She can turn us all off at a moment.
True. Yeah, she's that's the one. True. She's at the controls, quite literally. Yeah.
Lena holds all the power. That's true. You know, 5-1 was the worst last year. So this is something that we literally have not seen from this team under Rick Talkett. And it's going to be interesting to see if this gets her attention. Because if this doesn't, you know, all the... You know, they were aware, and I'll say this about the players. For the most part, they're pretty accountable. And this standard that they talk about, they actually have it. Mm. Like, they hold each other accountable. They know. No one was pretending that everything was going great, even though they were 4-1-3. But whatever wasn't going great clearly was not enough to motivate them to change their ways and do hard things and just be disciplined and focused mm-hmm. and all the things you have to be before you can even start to execute physically, like all the things you have to be mm-hmm. ready for mentally. That wasn't enough, those mistakes. So if this isn't enough, 6-0 on home ice against New Jersey, then this team's in a lot more trouble than what we just saw mm-hmm. tonight. You know, there has to be a response. And the response isn't necessarily, you know, they have a fight in practice on Friday and then blow San Jose out of the water 10-1 on Saturday. That'd be okay, I guess. Yeah. But it's got to be, you know, they've 83 games left. 73 games left. And neither of you corrected me.
Well, I was thinking,
you're
I was
just like, looking at me like, you know what? Okay.
We had trust and accountability in you that right. you would correct it.
73 games left. That was an awkward pause there for about a second and a half. So,
I was like doing
you know,
the
they
math.
don't have to fix it for all 73.
That's why I have spreadsheets.
Right. But if they can start to work on yeah. it now, I know. I completely submarined any credibility I have in what I'm saying because
no.
I got the simple math wrong.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah,
they have a ways to go yet yeah. to the finish line. But it has to start improving now, mm-hmm. right? And if they've played 9 games, if it takes them 9 more to get to exactly where they want to be or need to be, that's fine. As long as we're seeing incremental improvements from now until then. I said on Monday, and I'm not taking credit for any prescience or anything, but I said Monday felt like a step back mm-hmm. because as ragged as they were, they had been getting better. Monday they got worse. Well, tonight they just got, you know, uncharacteristically worse. I'm searching for the right word. Again, something that we haven't seen. So now they have to go the other way. And as long as they start to go the other way, I have full confidence that this team will eventually get that identity back, mm-hmm. and they'll be fine. But this has to be the turning point tonight.
I wonder, too, because the last 5 games they got points, and you mentioned like it's started to slide a little bit, and there's that element of dealing with success. And even going back to the beginning of the season, it was mentioned of, hey, you had a successful season, even though it was just the halfway mark in the playoffs. How do you come into this season and embrace the hard and knowing that it always gets tougher and dealing with, quote-unquote, success? If tonight was a reminder of even just a micro stretch of 5 games of dealing with that success.
Yeah, well, it's urgency and desperation.
Right.
And it's like probably anything else in life. When things are bad, but you're kind of managing it, you know that it's still bad. And actually, I shouldn't even use life examples because people go through real hardship. We're just talking about a hockey
yeah.
game. But you can kind of manage mistakes and feel like, yeah, I wish we'd played better, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a point. Or we got one, you know, we beat Chicago. We came back, we got a point against Carolina. That was great in the third period. The last 10 minutes, as Tocchet said.
Yes.
And I love that. Yeah, we were good for 10 minutes yeah. and the rest of the game. But you can't fool yourself yeah. on a game like this. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can tell yourself that redeems this game. So that's why I say this has to be an early turning point, an early marker in their journey this season. And wherever they end up, this is going to be an important night, because if they don't start to reclaim their identity and continue to scuffle, and especially if there's not a real elevation in urgency, intensity, focus, all these mental things, if there isn't an immediate one, then again, I think this team's in trouble. And we'll look back at this game and say, that was the warning sign.
Right,
that was
yeah.
the canary. I was going to say the canary in the coal mine, but all the canaries died tonight in the coal mine. I'm sorry to say that for the Audubon Society out there.
None of the canaries made it out.
None of the canaries are making it to Halloween, okay? So they'll look back at this game. This is the night all the canaries died. But...
Please tell me you wrote that one into the piece.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you still got time to edit it.
I saved my best material for radio, because this is so, gigantic audience.
Yeah.
This is where the...
Especially when it's close to midnight.
But if they do figure it out, I think they'll still look back at this game and say, yes, that was where we knew that we couldn't continue that way. And so it's, you know, it's one game. It's their second regulation loss, which sounds amazing to say out loud,
yeah.
Right?
Well, like because
but, you know, in our defense, because the sky's always falling in Vancouver. Let's acknowledge who we are as a market. The sky's always falling. Even when things are nice, we're worried about what's the next hunk of cumulonimbus that's going to come down on our head. But the players...
That's a cloud, by the way.
Yes. 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 The players... Don't ask me to spell it. The players knew that they weren't playing well. Yeah. Certainly, Talkett knew that they weren't playing well. So even though they've only got the two regulation losses and 4-2 and 3 is... It's okay, you know, in the big picture. But in it, when you look at the process and how they've got to that, it's certainly not okay.
Well, from a point standpoint, it's been fine. 11 points in 9 games, but they've lost more games than they've won, right? Like, they've lost 5 games. They picked up points in 3, but if you lose an extra time in the playoffs, you're out, right? So it's a regular season thing. You pick up points, which is good. You take the points. You don't apologize for it. But their game just hasn't been good enough overall. And now they have San Jose coming up on the road. And with San Jose, I mean, you don't have to go out and win 6-0, but as far as us seeing improvement, does it not have to be one of their cleanest games of the season, like in terms of a bounce back?
Well, again, it's about their intensity and focus, and so hopefully that leads to cleaner play, that leads to better play with the puck and more responsible defending, and getting to, what does it Talkett call it, their landmarks, instead of swinging. There's a lot of terminology now I have to explain when I quote people, and it really dilutes the fine writing to have to explain it all. But, you know, I think it was Myers who talked about swinging. We're swinging. So the guys, instead of stopping on pucks, stopping where they need to, they just kind of coast by. They do, in the old days, we called it a flyby. They're still doing that. So, yes, I would... you know, like to see that cleaned up. But again, it's not that I necessarily need to see this demolition of the San Jose Sharks, a flex by the Canucks of their 23-24 form. You just have to see in Friday in practice as well. A lot of guys mentioned practice nights. So that's going to be interesting to see. Because again, this is a theme that Talkett and Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford have been talking about literally for years since they came in, about the need for better practices, better focus, and the players driving that, the top players driving that. So that's going to be interesting to see on Friday. But they just have to – this has to be the turning point, and things have to get better in the next couple of weeks. And again, I'm not necessarily talking about results, although those are nice, but how they play. They've got to start to look a lot more like the team they were last year. Because I don't remember them last year looking anything like the team we saw tonight. There was one game in Minnesota they lost 10-7.
Yeah,
but even that game.
But there was 5-on-3s and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And
there
was like
the
it was like 2 5-on-3s, and they actually played well and fought back a couple times and almost tied it. Like, they didn't give up to the end. It was a 10-7 game, but they fought until the very end.
Yeah, I think as well you got to give New Jersey some credit.
Of course,
it doesn't let. But New Jersey wasn't going to do what Carolina did. There was no chance tonight. Even in the second period when it was 3-0 and the power play, New Jersey didn't look like they were giving the Canucks any chance tonight to get back in this game. Because
100%.
Apart from all the things that were going wrong with Vancouver and the chances they were giving up in their end, what did they manage? Was it 20 shots?
Yeah, I mean, they had 7 shots after the first, and midway through the game, they had 9 shots.
Yeah.
They only had, like, 2 about 8 or 9 minutes
into
the second.
And what were the hardest saves that Jacob Markstrom had to make? What chances did he face that were as tough as what the Canucks were making Silov save? By the way, Silov's was the wrong decision, but that's the lowest hanging fruit, and it's easy.
Yeah,
it's easy to say.
And again, like, you don't lose 6-0 without everybody helping out in a 6-0 loss this way. But
it shows that everyone was in the line tonight, right? Like,
for sure.
the coaching staff makes a wrong decision on that one
too,
and so every element is like, each factor went into this loss tonight.
Yeah, there's one other thing I want to mention because I thought it was a bright thought on my part, so now I'm going to share it,
and he saved it
for the show. Expose how stupid I really am, I'm sure. But, you know, everyone's going to remember the terrible play that JT made with the puck, right? And it was awful. I don't know what he's thinking. Certainly, Quinn didn't know what he was thinking either because he wasn't expecting the puck there. He could see that JT wanted him to rotate and swap, and he clearly was not thinking the puck was coming behind him. But what I want to mention is what happened about 3 seconds before that.
Yeah.
Because the puck, if people recall, it was almost loose. It was halfway between the penalty killers and Hughes, and it was Hischier and Mercer, the two guys who generated the goal. And both of them took a stride towards the blue line because clearly their eyes were lighting up, I'm sure, under their visors. They're thinking, oh, this could be a two-on-one right here. The puck's there. Well, Quinn is so nimble and quick, he easily got to the puck, and he reversed it back down along the boards to Miller.
Yeah.
Now, those two penalty killers are
caught up because they
took a step in the wrong direction. You know, Tyler Myers took about 4 steps in the wrong direction on the first goal, but those guys took one. And Miller, instead of turning and attacking the net, because now you have numbers and they're a little bit high. I think Hischier was higher. Mercer might have got back into play, but certainly there was an opportunity to quickly turn and try to make them pay.
And Besser was going downhill as well.
Besser was in the slot. Someone was by the net. And again, this is something every day almost we've heard talk about. He mentioned it this morning. That when you beat pressure, take it to the hole.
Yeah.
You got to attack the net. The chaos goals, the chaos chances. How many times have we heard him talk about that the last couple of weeks, and bemoan the fact that these power play players seem so intent on setting up their plays for one timers instead of being aggressive. That was a chance right there to be aggressive. That's what's wrong with this power play. That when there's a chance to attack like that. Instead, it's, no, let's reset. We'll run another play and try and, you know, go cross ice a couple of times. Maybe we get a one-timer. Yeah. Maybe, and to me, that's as good a teaching moment for this power play as anything that we've seen in the last while, or at least anything I've seen.
Yeah. No,
but, I'm pretty dumb.
No, I think that's a great point.
That was a great point. Sam made it about an hour ago.
Not quite as well as you did.
It was not as well described.
There's all kinds of people, hardworking people, who have gotten off work from the time that you first mentioned that and are now listening to me and are appreciative that I've picked up on this. You
explained it far better. And
plus,
while
you guys are yakking on whatever you're yakking about post-game, I'm writing 1,200 words.
Somebody texted in earlier and said, we're a couple of windbags that have low IQ. So clearly, you provided far better knowledge for the person listening. So I'm sure this resonated better with a lot of people in our audience. Absolutely.
I didn't know windbags had IQs.
Well, I mean, so maybe you thought we were smart windbags then. Is that actually a compliment?
You could be smart windbags.
There we go. That's pretty good.
Hey, turn it.
You have a future at YVR. Probably get free trips out of it.
On that note, that brings us to the end of the show. Ian, fantastic stuff as always. I can't wait to read your latest on sportsnet.ca.
So no more closers in baseball till next season.
Yeah, that's over. The LA Dodgers, World Series champions, came back. The Yankees had a lead, apparently, too.
5-0.
5-0?
Yeah, and then a 5-run Dodgers fifth, I believe.
Not great. Not great for the Yankees, but oh well.
I'm sure they'll spend some money in the offseason.
Exactly. Yeah. I wonder who they're going to go after.
They must be the two highest payrolls in baseball, though.
Pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah. I mean, the Yankees have actually, comparative to the Dodgers, been...
You know, it was a bad game. We're like, hey, let's talk about the payrolls in baseball.
People
need
to get
home. Trying to end the show.
Yeah, people need to get home.
Yeah, my parking's up in
2 minutes.
What time is it?
It's midnight.
I have a watch. I can't read the time. It's more a fashion piece. Yeah.
You're trying to make a statement. That's all it is. Ian, great stuff.
It also didn't show up to work today.
Hurry up and end the show,
all right,
will
great
you?
Stuff. I can't wait to read your latest on sportsnet.ca.
Speak English.
I'm trying, man. And Vic Nizar back on the People Show or Canuck Central tomorrow. Depends on Dan Riccio's status for the show. Special thanks to Lena. Special thanks to Eddie. I'm Satyar Shah, and thank you all for listening. And we leave you on this. Quinn Hughes met with the media postgame, and Eddie cut every single Quinn Hughes answer. It was very short. So here's a supercut of what Quinn Hughes had to say about tonight's game. Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, not good enough. I mean, pretty much every way.
Where do you think it got away from you guys?
Probably somewhere in the second period there. I mean, anytime you don't score on a power play, you know, you're obviously trying to score. Yeah, I mean, he's a competitive guy. He's got a lot of care and will, and that's why he's been such a good player for us over the course of a couple of years. And it's easy, just, you know, probably starts in practice and everyone being sharp and getting ready for this road trip.
Does it help to be heading out on the road, or does it matter at all?
Doesn't matter.